Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. We welcome in our audience once again on this beautiful sunny day in Atlanta. Today we're going to have a discussion. It's actually based around the marketing side of the business. How do you find clients? How do you find new individuals? And we've got three individuals that are going to be talking to us today, all with kind of different businesses. The first is Emil Parody, and Emil has actually been on our show in the past, and I want to welcome you back in.
Well, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
It's my pleasure. So Emil is the owner of the Referral Institute and works with individuals, business owners, and as well as corporations on helping to find new clients through referrals. So Emil, maybe you could tell us a little bit more on your background and kind of how you got into what you're doing now.
Well, it was a change from retirement from the Marine Corps into financial services. I was a financial advisor, much like yourself.
It's like everybody is nowadays,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I was drawn more toward the marketing side of the business and ended up entirely in that game. One of the things people ask me all the time about, well, how did you go from the Marine Corps to be in marketing and helping people develop marketing plans? And I tell them it's exactly like developing a campaign plan. So a military operation planning and marketing planning is exactly the same. So easy to do.
Simple transition.
Right.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing it?
Well, I've been, I would say, full-time doing marketing for 10 years. So, and Referral Institute for coming up on 7 years now.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about the kind of thing that you do when you work with someone that's trying to increase their exposure.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's different, of course. So one of the things that I try to do is find marketing systems or marketing activities that fit the person's style, personality, things they like to do, and of course fitting their business, because there are some different requirements based on your business, obviously. So we start there, then really determining what are you doing now, can you do those things better and make them more profitable, or do you need to add to that, or do you need to subtract from it? And a lot of times we need to subtract. A lot of people get into the networking groove, so to speak, and one of the things that we end up doing is cutting back on that and trying to make some of those things more productive and eliminate the unproductive.
It seems like it's such a critical part to so many businesses. Is there a group or organization or type of business that you tend to work best with?
Oddly enough, John, financial advisors are kind of my kitchen.
Yeah.
The goal with financial advisors should be to be 100% by referral. Not every business can do that, but a financial advisor certainly can. Having some experience in that industry is helpful to me to understand some of the things they're dealing with and some of the easy things they can do to increase their referral success.
All right, so this is easy for me because it's kind of in my wheelhouse. when you started talking about a kind of a campaign, you talked about a military campaign or a marketing campaign, it sounded like it was more than just referrals in most situations. Tell us a little bit more about the other types of things that you find that people have been doing that tend to be successful.
Yeah, one of the military tenets that crosses over into marketing is combined arms, using more than one media, using more than one lead generation channel. If you only have one, you're dead. So you need to have a continuum of activities that contribute to each other to make each one of them more successful than they would be by themselves. And a lot of folks don't understand that, or they do things in isolation. They either focus in on just one media, or they do things, but they don't contribute to each other. So that's usually a little bit of a challenge to find ways to make that happen.
You know, so many times in business, especially when you are an owner or you are developing your own business, there's a lot of crossover between the business life and the personal life and family life and work life, and sometimes they almost kind of intermingled together. How have you found your experiences with the Referral Institute being something that has either helped or hindered you on the personal side?
Well, it's helped me on my personal side because I like to travel. So the Referral Institute has enabled me to do that. I go to conferences. I speak in March. I'll be going over to Ireland to speak to a Referral Institute activity over there at a conference that they're doing. It's been great for me because it's allowed me to interact with a lot of very interesting people, which is, you know, it's what lights
spice
my fire.
Of life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's been great for me in just allowing me to meet great people like the other two folks that are here today.
Yeah.
And yourself even. I wouldn't have met you if it wasn't for what I do.
That's right. So tell us a little bit more about the process somebody would go through. If they had came in and said, Emil, I really need some help with developing my marketing and referrals and getting more people in front of me, what's the first thing that you do, and how would you go through that process?
The first thing I do is ask you a bunch of questions until you're probably sick of me asking you questions. But there's a lot of information that's important that's going to contribute to how you go about doing things that are going to work for you. So trying to make, for instance, one of our guests today, trying to make Paxton go out to a lot of networking events is probably not a good idea. Having him meet individually with people is a way better idea. So we have to change the strategy with someone like him. So I have to find those kinds of things out. The other thing is, of course, coming down to creating this marketing plan. So we look at the elements. What do you have in place now? What kind of collateral material do you have? What kind of things are you doing? Do you do seminars? You know, do you do public speaking? Those kinds of things. Are you good at that or not? So we start lining those things up, and then creating the budget of time, money, and then what's the return on each of those activities going to be? So that's really the process. At the end of all of that, typically we'll end up with a plan, and then that's the coaching part of it.
Well, it sounds like you're also building them almost like building blocks where you say, you know, we're going to start this as a foundation, and then we're gonna have this push this, this push this, and this push this, and it's all kind of combined and working together.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and it's especially when I'm working with more sales-oriented people, because some people just really like to sell. Usually when I'm working with them, they don't like to do a lot of the preliminary stuff. They want the, okay, what do I go do now?
Right.
So typically I try to have some action and implementation as we go along. So it's not learn, because people don't like, people don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
They want to get things, go out and put them into action.
Right, right. Perfect. Well, I think that Clax actually has a question that he wants to ask Emil.
Emil, is there a networker in all of us that you can kind of help us bring out? Is that a little bit of what you do? I mean, do you...
Yeah, I would say I would try. I won't say I could do it with everybody, but I think by and large, I can't think of anybody I haven't been able to do it with. I'll tell you some people I haven't been successful with, and those are people that won't stop selling. If people are selling all the time, I can't help them.
Yep.
And if they can't learn to not do that, then I don't want to work with them. And I've actually, over the years, fired two clients, just for that very reason.
Yeah, they can't stop talking about whatever it is that their wares are versus developing any kind of a relationship with somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Good
is
stuff.
Is there a differentiation in those, Emil, between, because I think of people that can't stop selling, and I think of really two groups, right? I think of the one person who, they're just a salesperson, and they're always selling. And then I think of the person who, and when we think about this economy, maybe they haven't had a sale in a while, or they're behind, and they're just kind of desperate for cash. I mean, is there a separation in those two, and is it easier to get one to stop doing it than the other?
There probably is a separation to the two. I don't know if someone's desperate, they're desperate. And trying to get them to see that the desperation is hurting, not helping, is a challenge for sure. People that are naturally inclined to want to sell, there's a hope there, I guess, to maybe beat it out of them. They used to use the size 9 motivation in the Marine Corps,
probably pretty well equipped with that. Huh?
Yeah, but that doesn't always work either.
No, it doesn't
so
work out great.
Yeah.
Well, that's great stuff. And we're going to continue on, but do you have any contact information for anybody who may want to reach out to you?
Well, Referral Institute Atlanta. Is the website, referralinstituteatlanta.com, is the easiest way to find me.
Okay. Well, if you'll hang out, we're gonna continue on and get some more general questions also. Clax Underwood is with the Providence Group, and I want to welcome Clax in.
Glad to be here.
So maybe, Clax, you could give us a little bit of background on kind of where you came from and what you're doing now.
Second career, actually, Atlanta is my home, and come from a long real estate background here in Atlanta. My great grandparents were the Winecoffs. If you're from Atlanta, you know about the fire here in Atlanta. So it goes back all the way into the 20s. My first career was actually in the automotive industry, and then I came back to real estate about 20 years ago.
So you've been bouncing around Atlanta for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a while.
We don't want to put a number on it or anything like that. And how did you settle into real estate?
Actually, it was just—I mean, it was always in my blood, and you know, it was something that I just came back to over time and enjoy.
So, are you doing mostly residential real estate, or some commercial, or how does that set up?
Our group is residential real estate. I have two partners, and we're heading into our 11th year now.
So the adjustments and changes that occurred in 2008 and 2009, I would imagine, were quite an impact for you guys. What have you done to kind of right the ship?
Well, I guess it starts long before 2008 and 2009, and that the ship was right before we hit it. And working by referral is what kept us afloat in that ship. Mm-hmm. We were probably about 95% referral. We have a coaching company we've worked with out of California for the past 12 years, and they've taught us how to work by referral through a number of different ways. And they actually have a nationwide referral network of agents throughout the country, and actually we get referrals through that network as well.
What was the point that you found the least activity in your business in the last 5 years?
I think when the music stopped,
yeah,
for all of us,
right,
and that's in most businesses, and people didn't know what to do. I think as a country, we were sitting there, what do we do next? I can't sell. Do I have a job? I mean, that was, people are coming back at this point. It's almost like I phrased it for some other folks I was talking to yesterday. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And the real estate market's coming back.
You found some activity happening more in 12 than in 11?
This year, since the first of the year, it's very substantial difference.
with so many people in your business going out of business, and I certainly know of many real estate agents that were, you know, they dabble. It's one of the most dabbling businesses I've ever seen. People dabble in real estate all the time. They figure out their real estate
and the lending business.
And the lending business as well, and that's getting even more difficult. What helped you? I mean, besides the referral piece, what's the thing that allowed you guys to continue focusing on doing business and thriving as things came back?
The referral business is, in my humble opinion, is nothing more than the relationship business. And as you build the relationships over the years, those relationships don't go away as long as you maintain them. And that through that, those people will always need a place to live in the best of times and in the worst of times. And albeit a little bit less volume, those people are still out there thinking about you as long as you're thinking about them and what you can do to help them along the way. And that's part of what referrals are.
Right.
If you come from contribution in the referral business, then you're going to have a good business.
What do you do? Can you think of anything that in particular that you guys are doing that's setting you apart from people that maybe aren't getting those referrals?
You know, I can tell you what we're doing. I don't keep up with what everybody else
sure.
is doing, obviously, but you take your time with people. You take your time and have coffee with people. You take your time. What's the most valuable commodity we all have is time.
Mm.
And it's how much does it mean to you when someone calls you and, well, let's just have a cup of coffee. Is there something I can do to help you with your business? How much does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
I know it means the world to me if somebody takes that time for me. The other thing that, and this is a learned trait from the coaching company we were with in California, is a personal note. How many times do you throw away a personal note you get in the mail? Most of us don't. I at least open it. It gets me to open it anyway.
Right.
And if it's something that I receive a thank you from somebody, and that just makes a world of difference.
So if somebody is in the Atlanta area and looking, buying and selling, you guys do buying and selling of homes?
Yes.
And is there any particular area you guys focus on or are specialists in?
With our partners within the business, and we have buyer's agents as well, in addition to the three of the partners, we cover pretty much the city from probably south of the airport all the way north past Cumming.
Really? Oh, the sprawl, hey?
The sprawl.
Yeah. What have you found, just from a real estate perspective? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are looking to either buy or sell. Right now, is there an area that's really up and coming and really moving houses more easily than other places?
The area that everybody's coming back to is inside the perimeter. We moved everybody out,
yeah.
And now everybody wants to be back in.
Yeah.
And it actually has turned into a seller's market from what was a buyer's market. And it's much more a seller's market now inside the perimeter.
I remember a few years ago, there was nothing in condos. You couldn't sell a condo. You couldn't get financing for a condo. Is that coming back, or is that still a little soft?
Slowly. It's still soft.
Townhouses maybe in the middle there, but houses are the strongest?
Single family is strong.
Single family is the strongest.
Yep.
Good. That's great stuff. So when you started getting involved in developing referrals, what did you find was the biggest impact to your business?
The biggest impact when you start is what do we all have? We have a database of people, and you build your database every day. And as long as you add to your database every day, that is your impact. I mean, and this is sound silly, but, you know, if I wear my little badge that says I'm a realtor,
right?
You know, it's an open invitation. Everybody wants to talk about what's going on with their house. It's a little bit easier for me than it is for a financial person or some other businesses. So people want to talk about what's going on and can you help me or am I underwater or all those things that the last 4 years have created. So that makes it an easy conversation for me.
Well, you seem like a very approachable person just from meeting you, 30 minutes ago. Some people, I would imagine, wearing a pin doesn't really get people to say hello. Does that really work for you? Wearing a pin, people come up and say, hey, you know, you're a real estate guy. I want to talk to you.
I was in a doctor's office about 4 years ago and had my pen on. And are you a realtor? Yeah. Well, I need to list my house. So, yeah, that worked.
It worked, huh? It worked. All those years were worth it from one person, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, they were interested in either selling or maybe buying a house in the area, what's the best way to get in touch with you and your firm?
The Providence Group is TPG. It's the initials for the Providence Group. So it's tpgatlanta.com.
And phone number?
404-819-4796.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Clax, for joining us. Can you hang out for a minute?
And, yeah, love to.
Be involved in the rest of the conversation. The last guest that we have this morning is Paxton Dement. And Paxton is the director of institutional services with Capital Research Advisors. So I want to welcome Paxton in. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So, Paxton, maybe you could also give us a little bit of background on kind of where you came from and what you're doing now.
I've been in the Atlanta area probably about 22 years. I've done everything from being a real estate appraiser to moving to the trust business, getting rid of a lot of estate property, and I was able from that to move on to Ameriprise for about 18 months. And that was, I ultimately wanted to get into the investment business. It just took me a little bit longer. And then in 2001, I got an invitation from a friend to start work with a in-town investment council, where I got a chance to pick stocks, which at the time was my dream. And I was able to stay at that job for about 9 years. I had a lot of great times during that. But as you know from your business, 2008. I'd say 2007, I knew something was going awry. I just wasn't quite sure what it was. And then 2008 came, and I think the niche that I was in at that time was starting to contract. And I think at the end of 2009, I decided that I needed to do something else, and that firm was merged into another firm. So I went from being a portfolio manager and trader and doing a lot of those things to figuring out what I wanted to do next within the investment business. And I decided to go to work for a manager that was less traditional. And I think what it's called in the business is tactical. And I had met someone through a trade organization. And that's when I started that career as a retail advisor. And I soon realized after about 6 months that my skills were more suited to actually calling on financial advisors, since my background was more technical. And I think from that, during that time, I've known Emil for about 2 years. And I think at the end of 2010, I decided to become a client of his and took his certified networker course over the course of about 4 months. And after that was finished, I decided to have him stay on as my business coach.
And now you're working with Capital Research Advisors in that role.
That's correct. My job is to call on independent financial advisors, primarily registered investment advisors, and then certain ones that are affiliated with independent broker dealers.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about the individuals that you're working with and you're talking to, are the advisors or potentially people within that realm. What are the discussions that you're having with them? What are you bringing to the table for those guys?
John, what I bring to them is a solution. I think there are plenty of investment products out there. I think what guys want and what they need ultimately is a solution for an issue that they're having. And it's just really my job to try to develop the rapport with them and to build trust and show them what we have and how we can help them do their jobs better. Because a lot of If I can bring what I can bring to the table, which is the money management service, I know on the other side, someone who's a wealth manager, I want them to do what they do best, and I want them to do what I do best, and that is bringing a solution in a choppy market that has reasonable upside potential, but more importantly, protects against the downside. And ultimately, that's the goal of what I'm trying to do. And if I can communicate that well, then all the better.
In working with Emil and some of the referral areas that you guys have worked on, what have you found to be the best kind of added benefit in having that training?
I think the thing that's helped me the most with Emil is Emil has stood in my shoes as a financial advisor before, and I think that's what I try to impart to financial advisors is to say, I've been in your shoes before, and I know what you have to deal with. And I think with Emil, he's given me a strategic plan, and we keep refining it. We meet fairly often. We email and talk a good bit, and I feel like that he brings up suggestions of ideas that I haven't thought of. And I think the places of the investment business that are growing right now are niches. It's not as a whole. It's just what's the niche you need to be in, and be in that, be at the right place at the right time.
And from a marketing program, from a development of that whole marketing process that Emil had talked about earlier, how has that been for you? And do you feel confident with the kind of process and procedures that you guys are working on right now?
I feel really good about it because it's forced me as someone who can bounce all over the place to have a structure and to understand that a referral, and as I like to think of it in terms of referrals, of getting warm introductions. And I've been able, through Emil, since he has other financial advisors as clients, to be able to talk to them. And I can get introductions that way. And I feel like warm introductions are probably the best way to do it, because I think, anybody can pick up the phone, but a warm introduction makes it so much easier. So much easier. And I think that that's the big value proposition that the Referral Institute keeps reinforcing.
Well, it seems like that's almost the key, and I'm going to open up actually in just a second. If Paxton, if you got any contact information, if there's people out there that would like to reach out to you and learn a little bit more about what you guys do,
certainly. My website for my company is capitalresearchadvisors.com, and the best phone number to reach me is 678-557-7756. And I would say the last thing, for our separately managed account program, it is available through a company called Placemark that works with all of the major custodians such as Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, and Pershing. And we're working on being available through some of the independent broker dealers.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, and we're going to start off with some kind of general questions. Actually, Paxton brings up a great one, which is, when you get right down to it, when you're talking about referrals and getting introductions, it is all about that warm introduction. I mean, isn't that really the bottom line, and the referral may be the crown jewel there? But the reality is, whether you're networking or whether you're doing, at a party, or whether you're, at a function or a wedding or whatever the case may be, that warm introduction is the key. Is that pretty much the goal?
The warm introduction brings one thing with it that is gold for all of us. It brings instant credibility. The person that gives you that warm introduction has already paved the way. So it's one less thing that you have to do as you make the build your relationship with a new client.
Both Paxton and Clax were talking, I was, of course, running through a lot of thoughts. And one of them is the idea of word-of-mouth marketing, referral marketing, networking, and how people use all those words. And coming to the idea of the warm introductions, when you talk about word-of-mouth marketing, we're all trying to develop that word-of-mouth. That's kind of the visibility or the creating your presence in the market. Getting to the point that Paxton brought up and that Claxton just addressed is that credibility where you have that personal relationship and it's essentially transferred along with the referral, which is, you know, takes a little bit of work, it takes a little bit of time, and that's why we go back to the desperate guy. He doesn't have time,
right.
And that's why it becomes a challenge.
Yeah, he's got to get it done right now.
Yeah.
Is there any other, for other businesses, is the old school cold calling or, seminars or shows, you know, all that type of prospecting, if you will, is that really dead and gone? Is that no longer efficient?
If I could, I'd like to say, I think if you're not doing those things, some of those things, you're not going to get the referrals you want. I'm with the Referral Institute, and we build our business by referral. But I speak, I have a blog, I have I do all kinds of networking activities that are outside of what you might call networking. I call them networking activities, but they're writing, they're speaking. I don't do any advertisements per se, but I do sponsor some things. So
yep.
That's a form of advertising. So, if you're not doing that combined arms approach, you're missing the boat. And I think Claxton mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, you got to have multiple lines to touch people. So you're saying maybe you're not going to expect that warm introduction from necessarily a home show or a cold call. But if you have four or five other things going on at the same time, then that may create enough synergy to do that.
Well, a lot of that goes back to what Claxton brought up as well, and that is having a list. If you don't have a list of names, of prospects, and not even prospects, but suspects, you're never going to get out of the gate. So you've got to start building this list because everyone's not ready to buy a house today.
What other kind of things, Paxton and Clax, that you guys are doing that's outside of just getting a referral to help kind of build and fertilize that referral field that you're trying to create?
We do the seminars as well. We have a first-time home buyer seminar that we do actually at Total Wine down here.
It includes wine.
Yep. It includes wine.
You all
always
are
good.
Certainly welcome. We'll be sending that out. The key in every bit of marketing, I think, is you don't know who knows who when you're marketing to someone or when you're building that relationship. So that little ripple in the water at a first-time homebuyer seminar, we found at the one we did last week, an amazing group of relationships we were able to build just through that one. And a lot of those people didn't even want a home, but they knew people who were interested, or they knew people who may be in the next 6 or 8 months. So that's kind of where it all starts.
Yeah. Paxton?
I'd say for us, probably the best investment we made in 2012 was to, as a money management firm, to sponsor the Financial Planning Association of Georgia is a mid-level sponsor, because it's opened up the doors to where I've been able to meet people face-to-face, and I think being able to do that versus, some of the cold calling has helped. And another thing that I've found that's been very helpful, and I'm always refining the process, is using LinkedIn properly. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest thing, and I think Emil has been coaching me on how to use that and really try to use that and try to get the warm introduction or the referral that way. And that's been a big help. And I think as my network has grown and some of the groups that I've joined, I think it's been helpful. And I think when people find, I think another thing I've used just real quick is InMail. And I've seen a survey that a lot of financial advisors, as far as being contacted by what they call in the industry wholesalers, 70% of them prefer an email to their email address or an InMail from LinkedIn versus a cold phone call, which was which was kind of what I instinctively thought, but I didn't realize it was that high.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys talked about this warm referral. I want to dig into that a little bit. I mean, that, obviously, that's the ideal. We'd all love the warm introduction, right? But a lot of people are out going to networking events, and they're meeting people for the very first time, and they're trying to get right to the warm referral. So my question is when you meet people and you're developing your network, number one, what's a fair time expectation between the time you meet somebody and the time that maybe the warm referral process should start with them? And then the second part of that question is, what steps are critical, things that you should be doing between the meeting and that first warm referral to ensure that process, to facilitate that they're going to get to know you, trust you, and want to make that warm introduction?
The Providence Group are masters at this, so...
You know, is there a whole lot of difference between this and dating? I mean, you've got to...
Got to make the ask.
You got to start. First, you...
But you can't pounce.
Yeah, you got to... Okay.
I thought it was just a numbers game, Emil.
Tried that.
You start by asking someone out, and then that begins the relationship. And you have dinner, and you get to know each other a little bit, and then there's a trust relationship that's built. If I want referrals every day for someone for different things in my life, the different professionals, the different vendors that I use, but I want them from one of you who's had a great experience. Or through time and getting to know someone, then that's a good way to build that warm referral. I don't think you can bridge time. It's going to take time to build a relationship.
Yeah, I do what we call the cleverly named B2B luncheon. With B2B salespeople and do it once a month. And typically there's 15 to 35 people there, depending on what's going on. But there's a core of people that are there because they're either clients or have been clients, and the other people are there as prospects for them. I invite people for them to meet. And I tell folks, it's very unstructured, but I tell them the first half hour to 40 minutes is for them to find out who they want to eat lunch with. And then while they're eating lunch, they need to find out if they ever want to see him again.
Speed dating.
Exactly. But except for maybe you got more than the 2 minutes or
whatever they give you in the
speed dating. But over lunch, you do build the relationship, explore opportunities, and see if there's any kind of connections. And typically, sitting at a table like that, there's three or four people around you that you can have that kind of interaction with. And that's really the format. People wonder how this is a networking thing, because I really don't have any program. But the networking really takes place in building the relationship, as Clack said. And if you can get the right people in the room and give them the opportunity to talk to each other, they'll find out whether there's opportunity there.
Do referrals get easier or harder based on the profession? I mean, I'm thinking, okay, so Clax, you're in real estate, right? And I don't think if I know somebody buying or selling a house, that seems like an easy introduction. But yet, if you're a financial advisor, people are more close to the chest about their money. So I may not know what their needs are, and maybe that's the right introduction. So number one is that harder? And then I guess number two, I'm thinking, do I need to have done business with you to make the referral credible? If I'm not using you as my financial advisor, is it credible for me to say, hey, I know this great financial advisor. I don't use him, but you might want to.
Well, I'll go...
You're the master of this whole
thing. Well,
you're the authority. Everyone's looking around like, I don't know. talk to Emil. He's the guy who gets paid for this stuff.
My answer to that one is you'll see it on my blog, on the top right-hand corner of my blog, and it's what I truly believe that all salespeople hold in their hearts every day and allows them to keep going even when they get no, 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 one after the other. And that is the truth of the matter, is that to know me is to love me. The only people that aren't going to do business with me are the people that didn't get to know me. Because if you get to know me, you're going to love me. And if you need what I do, if you need my product or service, you're going to want to do business with me. Because I'm a great guy. I treat my clients great. I do a really good job for them. I know that in my heart. And if you can find me a salesperson that doesn't believe that, then he's a failure. So...
And there you have it.
There it is.
Well, the thing of it is, if you've got that in your mind...
So everybody's about to jump off a bridge right now, take one step back, it will be okay. We do not support nor endorse the...
Well, we all believe in ourselves, and yeah. I think that's what keeps us going. And so take a financial advisor. A lot of people used to tell me, Emil, you know, I'd like to refer you, but I don't know who's a good candidate for you. I don't know anything about their money. I used to ask them, do you have parties? Do you have barbecues or grill out in your backyard and invite people over? They say, yeah. I said, well, why don't you invite me? Go back to know me is to love me. If you get me out there eating some burgers with these folks and drinking a few beers, they're going to love me. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm seeing an ulterior motive here. This is how Emil gets all his social in, right?
Right.
Hey, you having a barbecue? I want to come over.
I'm coming. Invite me.
I like it.
So I'm going to shift gears a little bit here because Paxton brought up the concept of the whole LinkedIn, which is really wrapped around the whole social concept. And obviously, this is a huge hot topic. Everyone's talking about it. It may be overcooked to the point of people are now kind of going back to the other things saying, look, Clax has probably got it going on in writing handwritten notes and you know, talking to people individually. But let's just for a minute talk about the LinkedIn piece and what does that do to kind of help fertilize this field of referrals?
You on LinkedIn, Clax?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, do you ever look at it?
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Not nearly enough.
How about you?
I think I look at it every day, and I got a premium membership probably about a year ago, and what I really like about the premium part of it is to see who's looked at my profile.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And then you can also do more of an advanced search on different companies to start to find people. And I think the key to it is just try to find people to where they're connected to somebody, and what I typically do with that is ask them, A, how well they know that person, and would they mind introducing me?
Mm-hmm.
Some will be glad to make a phone call. Others, I guess in this modern age, will do an introduction online, and that's been successful as well.
So that kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning when I work with people to find out what style, what activities fit them the best. Clax is a master at the handwritten note, meeting people. He's very personable. He likes that. Easy. He's approachable. Paxton doesn't enjoy that environment quite as much, but he can use other tools to make him very effective. Once he gets into the one-on-one situation, into the technical aspect, he's very strong. But using some tools like LinkedIn is a great way for someone like Paxton to network.
So LinkedIn can be used as part of your tools, but it's probably not it's not a universal tool that everybody should use. Does everybody need to be doing some social networking nowadays?
Well, I think if you're in business, you probably ought to have some sort of presence out there, yeah. Whether it be just on LinkedIn or, you know, having a newsletter.
Because you're pretty involved. You're doing a blog. You're doing a number of different things with LinkedIn, and you've got some other things going on personally, right?
Yeah, I have LinkedIn groups, a couple different ones that I'm either in or in run. So, for me, it works well. For everyone, it's not, you know, not necessarily a big part of what they do. But for most businesses, I would say most business professionals, particularly in the professional side, that they probably ought to be on LinkedIn, and they ought to pay attention to their profile and make sure it's a good one and not just slapped up there with grammatical errors, misspellings, and so forth, because that's inexcusable.
Yeah. So if referrals are the way that you're really primarily focusing your business, one of the issues that I've heard of and found in my own business that's a downside to referrals is if you don't I'll take that back. Sometimes it's difficult to identify who you're going to get. So if you're looking for a very specific target market and you're getting referred not that target market, how have you guys found an effective way to shift or direct those referrals to be more in line with who you're looking for?
What I'm hearing you say is your price points for us in the real
for
estate interest,
price
industry
points, yeah.
would be
yeah.
price points that we're dealing with. And that has to do with your social network as well. So the people that you're introduced to, if I want to be introduced to someone who's selling a $1 million house, then I have to get involved with people who make $1 million a year or something that along those lines that can afford that kind of house. So basically all we're doing is talking about developing another database in a different financial area. It's not that you eliminate one, it's that you add another, and then it becomes just another referral source.
Paxton, anything there?
I think the thing I would say is I've had to refine my thing very specifically, and then I've kind of expanded it. And I think the example of that would be if I speak with other financial professionals, such as CPAs and people who might have been trust officers, that I could have a solicitor agreement with them that they could earn some money since it's their client. That's really about as far as I want to go towards the more retail space. So understanding that that's a viable area too, and just being specific with people to say, I really can't work with somebody who's with an extremely large firm, because typically what happens is big firms like to play ball with big firms, and just understand that. And when I say independent financial advisors, I can break that down into two groups: registered investment advisors and those affiliated with smaller independent broker dealers.
Right.
One of the challenges we had with Paxton was getting him to be able to convey that idea right there, so that he wasn't getting referred to people that he couldn't work with or that was extremely
exactly.
difficult.
Right.
So we had to narrow that down to, okay, what can you tell people that they'll understand? Because a lot of the words that Paxton can use in describing what he does are incomprehensible to most of us.
Right.
So, it took a little bit of trial and error to find out those things that he could say to his referral sources or potential referral sources that they would understand and could easily apply.
Great. So the last question I have is kind of for each of you. Pearl of wisdom. Emil, do you have a pearl of wisdom for our listeners?
Yeah, I think one of the things I have been really focusing on is the fact that people are unsuccessful in getting the number and quality of referrals they want because their referral partners don't know what to do. We're all looking at each other, how come you're not giving me referrals? I'm a great guy and I've done all kinds of things for you, but I haven't done anything to help you to know how to do that. So if we don't train our referral sources, tell them the things to say, point them in the directions we want them to, and give them some specific activities that they can accomplish that will contribute to us, then we're probably going to be disappointed.
Okay. Thank you. Clax.
I'm going to say something that I think is Emil all, and this is what he does, and it's something that I was in a course and saw, and it's people will grow into the conversations you create around them, and that's what Emil does. I mean, he enables the people that are in the Referral Institute. Basically, he creates the conversations, and those who are partner with him kind of grow into those conversations and learn how to make that work. So, I think that's really valuable.
All right. Thank you. Paxton.
I think probably the biggest thing, and Emil alluded to it earlier in the broadcast, is that being a better listener, and that's what I've had to learn to do, is try to say, if it's 2-1 that someone else is doing more talking, and then if I don't have anything poignant to say, then ask another question, but be ready to listen.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you guys' time. We certainly have learned a lot today from a referral standpoint and certainly marketing. I appreciate you coming down, and hopefully we'll have you back in soon. To our listeners, we appreciate you taking the time to listen in and learn from the show. Until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.